If you wish to follow along, I want to read one verse from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Joe and I spoke some yesterday, and there were some things I wasn't going to mention, but I believe I will mention them after all, just to try to show a point. But before I go into that, let's read the one verse. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan's beguiling deception is still in full operation today.
Yes, sir.
Not through the serpent of the garden. Now, it was through the serpent of the garden.
Yes, sir.
And this is what is amazing. The scripture says that Satan's great lie was this: yea, hath God said. That's the title of my message, Satan's Lie. Yea, hath God said. And there are men and women today that still want to debate, what did Satan mean? What was Satan getting at? Let me try to put it as simply stated as I can. Anything that does not directly declare exactly what God has said is the lie of Satan.
Exactly.
It's that simple, no matter what it is. There are those who, when they read, especially these first chapters of the book of Genesis, they want to delve into, well, man and all of natural creation was vegetarian. And they were. And they were. But it's the one that then they go on to say, we need to get back to that spot.
Exactly.
We cannot.
Amen.
The fall occurred and we cannot erase it.
Amen.
Others want to delve into, well, evidently Eve could talk to the beast of the field.
No.
Yeah. She spoke with this serpent. Did she not?
Yeah.
But I also read that another beast spoke.
Yeah.
Called Balaam's ass.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right.
The point is not who is speaking. The point is what is being said.
Exactly.
What is being said.
Amen.
I can't explain this. Was this serpent a legged snake? Whatever it was, Joe, it doesn't matter. Was it infiltrated by Satan himself? Paul makes it clear that in the New Testament that this serpent was Satan. It was Satan. Satan personally, Satan individually. But that's not the point. The point is his murderous, beguiling words. And they always begin with this: yea, hath God said?
Exactly.
And it is not, yea, God hath said. Mm-hmm. It is always, yea, hath God said?
Exactly.
So I say that Satan's beguiling deception still operates today. Here's another one. Men want to deal with where did Cain get his wife from?
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? This is what they want to deal with.
Right.
And I usually tell them he met her at Walmart. And they look at you a little skewy-eyed, and usually they drop it right there and let it go.
Yep, they don't say no more.
Satan's, that's not the point.
Exactly.
And our human minds, in its fallen nature, wants to somehow get away from the truth of God and deal with something else that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's all a part of, yea, hath God said?
Exactly.
As I said, this beguiling deception now is not through the serpent of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's coming through many a preacher. Standing behind a podium or a pulpit, just like I'm doing this morning. The subtlety is evident in that many still say, "Yea, hath God said."
Amen.
You have probably heard it. You can quote scripture to someone and they'll say, "I don't believe that."
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the lie of Satan having infiltrated their hearts and minds, their thoughts.
Yes, sir.
The enemies of God always put the question mark on the veracity of the plainly stated words of God.
Amen.
That's the lie of the devil.
Yes, sir.
We could say Satan was trying to insinuate to Eve, God's not being fair with you and Adam. He's holding back something from you. When God had said, all of this is yours, but one thing.
That's right.
And God was saying, it's mine. Don't touch it.
Amen.
Don't touch it.
Yeah.
Think of it. Eve was evidently standing here gazing at the tree.
Right.
When she could have and should have been, by the commandment of God, enjoying her husband's body and bringing forth children.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Hmm? So all disobedience to God is not immorality.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I just said?
Yeah, you're right.
He said to them, be ye fruitful and multiply.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say this as tactfully as I can. He's saying to them, go at it.
Uh-huh.
Right. Enjoy one another.
Right.
Make babies.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what he said.
And what was she doing? Standing there, gazing at the tree, talking to the serpent. That is not immorality.
No.
But it is. Sin against God. Here's the amazing thing, though. Even though that is true, man did not fall by her act.
That's right.
Man only fell when his federal head, Adam, acted.
Exactly.
And I'm not here to deal with the ramifications of all that. But I tell you what, though that was a massive, complete, utter fall.
Yep.
I thank God for it.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 8? But God be thanked. This is the way he puts it.
Yeah.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah.
Now he did not say, ye were the servants of sin, but God be thanked that.
There you go. Yeah.
He said, but God be thanked. We would have never known the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ had we not failed in our father Adam in the garden. It says the angels long to know, to see what we know and see. Why is that? They've never fallen. The angels who did fall have no hope.
Exactly.
So again, I say the enemies of God always put the question mark on the veracity of the plainly stated words of God. We read the scripture and by nature we say, well, what's that really mean?
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't we? It can't mean exactly what it says. Yes, it means exactly what it says. Satan's tactics. Now listen to me. Satan's tactics are not seen. I didn't say they're not mostly. I said they're not seen in the bars, in the brothels.
That's right.
Yet that is what most of so-called Christianity is teaching today.
Exactly.
Satan's out there at work in the bars and the brothels. No, the bars and the brothels are you and I at work.
Right. There you go.
We don't need the devil to have us do those things.
Right.
We drink up those things like a thirsty man drinks up water.
Exactly. Yeah.
Go back and read what our Lord said in Matthew, recorded in Matthew 15, verses 16 through 20. He says, out of the heart.
Yes, sir.
And he's talking about the heart of man, not the heart of the devil.
Exactly.
Out of the heart comes evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and drunkenness and revilings and all of those such things. The bars and the brothels are not Satan at work. That's us at work by nature. Satan at work stands in places just like this.
Right.
And there are no doubt thousands upon thousands of them this morning standing in places just like I'm standing, and they are saying to men and women in not the very words, but in the doctrine they teach, yea, hath God said?
Exactly. You're right.
Satan's ongoing tactics deal with righteousness and light, not the atheistic movement.
You're right.
Satan's too smart to be an atheist.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Satan never, ever has denied the existence of God.
No, sir.
He always denies the veracity of God's plainly written truth.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, Satan will even partially quote Scripture.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Or he may even fully quote Scripture, but yet twist it to his own means.
Exactly.
Go back and look. Mm-hmm. Satan even acknowledges the absolute sovereignty of God.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just mentally. And I don't know if that's the best way to say it about an angel. I don't know. I don't know how to state it the best way. Because God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And basically he said, sure I have, but you won't let me touch him.
That's exactly right.
Isn't it?
Amen.
You put a hedge about him, and I can't touch him. And God said, all right, touch him, but here's your boundaries.
That's right.
And you can go no further.
Amen.
No, Satan's not in the atheistic movement. That's just the pride of rebellious men.
Right. That's it.
If you truly believe something is a myth, you don't have to fight against it.
That's right. Yeah.
Are you out there? And I said this one time, and I know some people got mad at me, but are you out there having to fight against Santa Claus? Or the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have to prove to people they're not real?
There you go.
Do you have to spend thousands of dollars and have billboards? The atheistic movement is not Satan at work. Satan is at work in many Baptist churches and Presbyterian churches and Church of Christ churches and Church of God churches and right on down the line. That's where Satan's doing his work.
Right, sir.
Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. And by God's grace, we'll take his word over any other man's word.
Yes,
2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, Satan's emissaries don't deny apostleship.
Nope.
They just fake apostleship.
Exactly. Amen.
You see? Satan's emissaries are not in the bars, in the brothels. They're behind the pulpits of our day. And they were in Paul's day. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, trying to get you to take a drink of liquor. That's not what it's talking about, is it? No. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Amen.
And no marvel. No marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's not trying to promote darkness. He is promoting a light that's not the light of God's truth. And even our Lord warned about this. He said, if the light that's in you be darkness, what a statement. What a statement. If the light that be in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Amen.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing. You see, what I just said about Satan's not in the bars and the brothels, there are people that, if they hear me say that, they will be aghast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Paul says, this is no marvel.
Exactly.
It's no great thing. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of what? Immorality? No. Not even unrighteousness? No. Righteousness.
Amen.
But I can tell you one thing, one kind of righteousness it's not. That's the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen. You're right.
They're preaching human righteousness. Man's righteousness. And I'm not suggesting you do this, but you turn on the radio, you turn on the TV, you go online, you listen to most of the so-called gospel messages that are being preached. They are touting the righteousness of fallen men and women. And they are not touting the righteousness of God Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
That's right.
Oh God, help my end not to be according to my works.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
And if you hearing me this morning, you're hearing me whatever time you are hearing me, if you want your end to be according to your works, you have no idea what you ask for.
That's exactly right.
Well, I just hope that my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. They won't.
No. That's exactly right.
Because even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
Therefore, usually the things we think that are really bad, God says, well, that's the way they normally are. That's what they are by nature. The problem is we present these so-called good things to God and they are a stench in God's nostrils.
Amen.
So much so that the Lord of glory himself, when he came down here in enfleshment, he said, that which is highly esteemed among men.
Yeah.
This is a big statement.
Yes, sir.
That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in God's sight. And go look at the context. Go look at the context of what he talks about next. No, Satan's not at work in the bars and the brothels and the atheistic movement.
You're right.
He's at work in so-called Christian churches today.
Yeah, see it.
He was there in the garden of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Right. Was he not?
Yeah.
Right there. And his only thing was to say, yea, hath God said? Yeah. That's the way he begins everything he begins with.
Yes,
throwing a question mark on the truthfulness, the veracity of God's clearly stated words.
That's right.
Amen. Bars, brothels, and false brotherhood, it all condemns. Don't you misunderstand me.
Exactly.
It all condemns. But it don't deceive.
That's right.
False brotherhood deceives. Yeah. False gospels deceive.
That's right.
Bar, there's no deception in the bar and the brothel.
No.
Now, is there? Come on now. If you're deceived by the bar and the brothel, you're in really bad shape.
You're in trouble.
As we all, you need a good dose of God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
But even more than that, you also need a good dose of intelligence, because you got none. No. Hear our master about some people. You, this is in John 8, verses 43 through 45, you are of your father, the devil.
Amen.
He was a murderer from the beginning. The beginning, when was that?
Yeah.
In the beginning, God. So we know right then, that's where he already was.
Yeah.
He's the father of lies.
Yes, sir.
And he said, you do your deeds, the deeds of your father.
Yeah.
And what's the one deed they won't do?
Yeah.
What's the one deed they won't do? Love Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ is.
Amen. That's right.
Those Jews did not reject the coming of the Messiah.
No.
They rejected the Messiah when he came.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Those Jews did not reject the coming of the Messiah.
No.
They looked for it, believed it, would die for it, many of them, if necessary. Their problem was they were so depraved, just like we are, that we don't believe the Messiah who has come.
Right. Amen.
You are of your father the devil. So in the remainder of my time, consider just a few present day subtleties. And I want to try to deal with some that are just straightforward, not some great theological debates. That's not what I'm talking about. To begin, the first one you'll find it in Romans chapter 10. So if you want to follow along, be turning to Romans chapter 10. Now, you thought I was going to Romans chapter 9, didn't you? But I don't. But I got to mention Romans 9. Here are our master's words. Remember, you're of your father the devil. Yes. Some people have the devil as their daddy.
That's exactly right.
That's what it says. It's just the way it is. Now, he knew who they were individually.
Yes, sir.
Mason, he could look at a man or a woman. He knew
who
was of their father the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew who was of God. I can't just look at a man or a woman and know that. But there are some manifestations of it.
Yes, sir.
The fact is, though, even when these things may be manifested in some people, that's what we all are by nature.
Exactly. You're
the
right.
Children of wrath toward God. And that's what Paul's talking about, even as everybody else.
Right, exactly.
By nature, we love to hear, yea, hath God said? Because we all, by nature, love to walk after our own way.
Yes, sir.
This preacher included, standing in front of you right now, this moment, if God Almighty did not restrain me, I'd walk according to all the lust of my flesh.
Yes, sir.
And there are times when God will lift his restraint even off of one of his blood-bought, regenerated, converted children just a little. And we will start in a downward spiral from which we cannot deliver ourselves except God himself step back in and deliver us.
Right.
Look at King David.
Yeah.
Look at Jonah.
Yes, sir.
Look at yourself.
Yes, sir.
Look at yourself. So here, let's just consider a few, mainly three, subtleties. The subtleties of the ministers of Satan. Remember, the ministers of Satan are the ministers of righteousness and light.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're not out here trying to promote immorality and unrighteousness in that sense. They're promoting righteousness and light, but it's not the righteousness of God. It's not the light of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just three short thoughts, and we will see. Satan's lie, yea, hath God said? According to this book, God demands belief and confession of Jesus Christ as Lord.
Amen.
Does he not? Yes. Now let's read it, Romans chapter 10. And this is a very familiar passage with most everybody that is acquainted with so-called Christianity in our day, is it not? You will find it on many a Bible tract. You will see people holding it up on placards. Listen to part of it. Here's what he says. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And he's talking to believers.
Yes, sir.
That is the word of faith which we preach.
Yes.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus,
amen,
and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what is Paul saying? God demands, and by his grace it comes to pass that there are some people who do what? They confess with their mouth, what? The Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now I know sometimes we think about this now. Some of us who've been converted for many a year, and we think, well, that's so in the past. It's not in the past for the countless millions of people still around us today. Satan's lie is this. Here's his lie. Here's this lie. Yea, hath God said?
Exactly.
They say, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Right.
Now let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is a personal Savior.
Amen.
And he saves everyone who is ever saved.
Yes, sir.
Individually, personally, one by one.
Yes, sir. One by one.
And when he does, they will confess with their mouths that he is what? Not their personal Savior, but their Lord.
Lord.
Lord. You see, if God Almighty has never brought you down by the preaching of the gospel, empowered by His Spirit to cause you to confess in reality from your heart, yeah, Jesus Christ is Lord, you don't know Him as Savior at all.
Amen.
And yet there are some today that preach. They actually teach men and women this, and thousands of people are caught up in this light that is darkness. Jesus, yeah, is my Savior, although He's not my Lord today.
Yeah.
I ought to make Him my Lord, but at least He's my Savior. That's a lie of the devil.
Amen. Right.
And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that to warn every one of us.
Exactly.
I'm saying that because I care about men's souls more than I care about getting along with the religious of this world.
Exactly.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and do what? Believe that God raised Him from the dead. That's not just about a historical fact.
No, sir.
His raising Him from the dead is the clear manifestation that God accepted what He did on a people's behalf.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
The God who raised Him from the dead didn't leave Him here on this earth.
That's right.
Did He?
No, sir.
He exalted Him and took Him up. And He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. He's Lord.
Amen.
And if He's not your Lord, He is not your Savior.
Exactly.
Now look what it goes on to say. Now here's where the minions of Satan want to concentrate. For the Scripture saith, whosoever, and they want to stick right there and fight about that over and over.
Right.
But they don't even deal with the Lordship of Christ to start with. Because they know. Because so these minions, they're of Satan. Satan knows the truth. He just wants to distort it.
Yeah.
Lie about it.
Yeah.
These minions know. They will not deal with the Lordship of Christ. They want to deal with whosoever.
Exactly. That's it.
Well, I tell you what. If you're not willing to deal with the Lordship of Jesus Christ first, whosoever will matter nothing to you. Because there are whosoever believeth not.
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Look, for the Scripture saith, whosoever, but here's the qualifier. And there's several a qualifier here. Now you hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him.
Amen.
Four. You see it?
Yeah.
Look, for whosoever shall call,
yes,
upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not a lucky rabbit's foot you use when you use Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah, you're right.
His name describes who He is. Jesus, the man. Christ, the anointed Messiah.
Yes, sir.
The Lord. Absolute sovereign of all.
Amen.
That's what it's talking about. And somebody said, you believe somebody's got to believe in the sovereignty of God to be saved? No, they're going to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. And when they do, they're going to begin to understand He's Lord.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. God's going to begin to teach you when He saves you everything about who He is.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Pertinent to you knowing in this that's in this book.
Exactly.
You won't learn it all like that, but you'll begin to learn it.
Yes, sir.
But look at what it says. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?
Amen.
There are many people that walk an aisle and pray a prayer doing a calling, but it's not this kind of calling.
Yeah, you're right.
You got to believe before you walk that aisle, if you walk an aisle.
Exactly.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you walk an aisle to call on the name, if you do that, you better believe first.
Yeah.
You see what it says? How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You got to believe first.
Yes, sir.
And believe what? That He's Lord. And that God raised Him from the dead.
Right, exactly.
How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Well, I ain't never heard about that kind of Jesus. Then you've never been saved.
That's right. Exactly.
Now you see what He's saying here? Yeah. We're talking about the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Not just a personal Savior Jesus. But the Lord Jesus. Joe, I want to confess Him as Lord, even if I have to die and go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He deserves to be confessed as Lord, even if I have to perish without him as Savior.
Amen. That's it.
Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
Yes or no? Yes. As Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go to hell, I'll go to hell confessing Jesus Christ as Lord.
Amen.
But you know what? If you do that by the grace of God, you will not go to hell.
That's right.
But isn't that another amazing part of the lie? I seen a billboard. It's basically this. Jesus is the only way to heaven. How about Jesus is the only way to righteousness?
Amen. There you go.
Hmm? Everybody's worried about heaven or hell. What about righteousness before God or unrighteousness before God?
Amen.
They're not worried about that because they think they got that wrapped up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They just need heaven or hell, preferably heaven.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
It's still the subtlety of Satan. Yea, hath God said. You don't have to deal with that righteousness thing. Just give your heart to Jesus. He don't want your heart.
Amen.
It's wicked above all things. Desperately wicked above all things. And you don't even know it, neither do I.
Exactly.
We don't know how bad we really are. And some of us here know more about how man really is than most folks in this world do. But we still don't get it like it ought to be got.
You're right.
Do we? Look, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
And every preacher that's ever been sent of God, and he goes on to say they got to be sent, is just a sinner just like you are.
Yeah.
But yet there are people today, so I won't listen to him. I'm not going to listen to that man.
Yeah.
Do they not? And we, even us today, I find myself picking and choosing. On that stick I got, Joe, with all the messages, I find myself picking and choosing the ones I want to listen to. And I think to myself, wait a minute. If this one guy I'm not listening to is preaching the same gospel the other guy's preaching, then what's the problem? It can't be them. It's got to be where? It's got to be right in here. You see what I'm saying? Well, I like that one better. It does more for me. You think it does. If the truth don't do something for you, no matter what the clay pot is that's bringing the truth to you, then you're really not getting much of anything, even though you think you are.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
As I've said before, I used to pray, oh God, give Joe something to say to us this morning. And I still pray that. But I know the most pertinent thing for me is, oh God, open my heart and mind afresh to hear what you gave Joe to say to me.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying to you? It's putting the onus on somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm a vessel ready to receive. Lord, enable them to give me what I need.
Yeah.
No, the problem lies right in here.
Right in here.
You're right. Right in here. And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. Mm-hmm. Sent. I don't care if it's a Jonah, a Peter, a Paul, or whether it be a lady at the temple who says, here's the Messiah. Here's the Messiah.
Yeah.
Whether it's a Priscilla and Aquila.
Yeah.
Or whether it's an Apollos.
Yes.
You see, the vessel doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It's the message that's
right.
coming from the vessel.
Right.
And if that vessel is sent of God, you will get the right message.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
God demands belief and confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's where it starts when it comes to conversion.
Yeah.
Well, a public convert is public. He is Lord. It's not walking an aisle and praying a prayer.
Exactly.
It's God Almighty conquering your heart by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You fall in love with him
yes,
as he is revealed in this book.
Yes, sir.
Here's another one. God in flesh exposed self-justification as damning and mercy-seeking as paramount. I'm not going to read it, but you go back and look. Luke 18, 9 through 14. Most of you know the account. The Pharisee and the publican.
Yep.
Now that's the account that our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about when he talked about men who justify themselves before God. That's when he said that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in God's sight.
That's right.
He said two men went up to the temple to pray. And I'm going to shorten this. One bragged about himself.
Yep.
How good he was. The other one didn't brag at all. He said, God, this is all he said. Didn't even lift up his eyes. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And our Lord himself said about that nasty, wicked publican. This man went down to his house justified rather than.
Yeah.
Now hear me. Rather than the other. Exactly. You exalt yourself, God will damn you.
Yes, that's right.
Humble yourself, God will exalt you.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not going to sit here try to explain that. Give all. That's what our Lord said, did he not? You brag about yourself to God, God will reject you. You beg for God's mercy because you know you really need it. He'll give it to you. Amen. He delighteth in mercy.
Amen.
Do you hear me? And yet, most of the preaching that's thought of as Christianity today is like Earl said about people when they come to church. You know what most so-called church is today? It's people coming together to congratulate one another on how good they are.
Exactly right.
And they may do that with one another.
Yeah.
We may do that with one another.
You're right.
But it will not stick before God.
Exactly. Yeah.
As again I say, God in flesh exposed self-justification as damning. It said the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. Mm-hmm. Thus his God was who?
Yeah.
Himself.
Exactly. That's it.
Himself.
Yeah.
That old publican stood afar off, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, and smote on what? His problem. Smote on his breast, well, his heart. Amen. Smote on the problem. It's me. I'm the problem.
Amen.
God, propitiate. Amen. God, propitiate me. That's the actual Greek word. God,
yes.
You need to appease your own justice for me. I can't do it. God, exactly. Be merciful to me, the sinner, and he went down to his house justified.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious? And yet men say, yea, hath God said? Don't they?
Oh, yeah.
How many of them on TV and the radio have you heard that's preaching that?
There you go.
Right. It's really preaching that. Here's a third one. God in flesh wrought a life of association with sinners in order to preach the gospel to them. Now you hear what I said? Turn to Acts chapter 15, or Luke, I'm sorry, chapter 15. Now let me say it again. the third simple thing. This is things that Satan's ministers question, throw a question mark on today. One of them is confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. They want you to do anything other than confess that Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
They throw a question mark on that. They want you to brag about how good you are. And be so good that you're proud of how good you are. You're proud of your pride.
Yeah.
Proud of your pride. Or, let me give you another. God in flesh wrought a life of association with sinners to preach the gospel to them. Luke 15, verse 1. Then came near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him.
Amen.
Now that's the kind of publicans and sinners we're talking about now.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? I'm sure, Mason, there were some publicans and sinners that were still pretty proud about themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Were probably just as Pharisaical, if not more so, than some of the old Pharisees, because they probably prayed to themselves saying, God, I thank you, I'm not like the Pharisee.
There you go.
And that's not what the publican prayed when he got mercy. It's God be merciful to me. He didn't worry about the Pharisee.
There you go.
That's was it? And there's a lot of people there. They're pretty proud about their pride. You know, I've used the statement proud of face, proud of race, pride of place. There's also pride of grace.
Yeah, you're right.
There's some people's proud that they've earned the grace of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the highest height of pride that there is, to think you can earn the grace of God.
Exactly.
Think about it. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. Why? For to hear him.
Amen.
Do you find yourself like Mary?
Yeah.
Now I know there are times we find ourselves like Martha, cumbered about with much work.
Oh yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And then we even get mad when others are not.
Yeah.
Huh? Right. Like she did to her sister Mary. But remember where Mary was? Martha's in there busy about getting food ready. And that's understandable. It's not a bad thing.
No.
But she turned on her sister and said, Lord, I'm busy. Tell Mary to come help me. He said, I will not.
That's right.
He said, she's chosen that good thing, and it will not be taken away from her. You know what that good thing was? She was sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him.
Amen.
And what happened? The Pharisees and scribes got ticked off. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, now look at what they actually said. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They were just totally, they were totally avoiding the fact he was preaching the gospel to them.
Exactly.
Many today respond today with the same incredulous attitude. You always address sinners as the objects of divine hope. What about good people?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ didn't come to save good people.
That's right. Amen.
And you know what he said? He said, the whole need not a physician, but those that are sick. As long as a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, thinks they're whole, they will never, ever, 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 ever have any need of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But once the Spirit of God convinces you of your sickness, you will have nowhere else to go but to the great physician. And you will want to sit at his feet and hear him as a sinner. What did Paul say in Romans 5? Now look at what he said. Now think about it. And somebody said, preacher, this is so simple. Isn't that where we always begin? Is the most primer things? God doesn't start you off on what kind of millennialism is right. If that's where you started, you missed everything.
Yeah.
He starts you off with who is Jesus Christ and who am I?
That's right.
Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 5, and he says these words, Romans chapter 5, let me find it. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the, what? Ungodly. Christ did not die for good people.
Amen.
He did not die for godly people. He did not die for well people. Now, I know there are none technically that are like that, but there are many who think they are. And as long as you think yourself well, you will never have need of Christ.
That's right.
But there are some folks that the Spirit of God convinces of, and what's the first thing he convinces you of? Sin.
Amen.
Sin. For scarcely if a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in while that we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Are you a sinner? I mean a real bona fide sinner. If you don't know much else in this world, you know this. I'm a sinner. Then I'm telling you, Jesus Christ died for you.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you that. Yeah. Now somebody said, what if you say that to somebody, they're deceiving themselves? Well, why does it matter? They're deceiving themselves.
Exactly.
I'm not going to make their state any worse. What, telling somebody that if you're a sinner, Christ died for you, it's going to be bad for them?
Exactly.
Now you see what I'm saying? Be careful about trying to be too Calvinistic in your teaching.
Yeah.
Huh? I've got to have all my ducks. I got to make sure nobody misunderstands me. They're going to misunderstand you no matter what you say. But I'm telling you, if you're a real, true, bona fide, listen, God made sinner. And you understand what I mean by that. God convicted sinner. Not that God made you to be a sinner. Adam made you to be a sinner. But God Almighty's convinced you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ died for you.
Amen.
Believe him. Trust him. Confess him. Depend on him. Love him. All of the things that go. Serve him.
Amen.
Oh, sinner. Any sinners hearing me right now?
That's it.
Any sinners hearing me right now? I don't care how long you've been a believer. Are you still a sinner right now?
Exactly.
I'm telling you, Christ died for you.
Amen.
You heard what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Because it says he died for sinners, Joe.
Amen.
Right? It says he died for the ungodly.
Amen.
Can you take your place there?
Exactly.
And/or will you take your place there?
There you go.
I'm a sinner. Amen. Any sinners hear me? There's hope for you.
Amen.
I don't care if you've believed 80 years. Your only hope is Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't care. You can believe for 50 years. That doesn't atone for not one of your sins.
That's right.
Not a one of your sins. Amen. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He did that by his blood on that tree.
Amen.
My summary is this. Oh, God, deliver us from Yea, hath God said?
Exactly.
Period.
That's it. Yeah.
Period. Father, oh, God help us. Because we are so subject to the subtlety of Satan. So subject to it. We're not above it. We're not above it. Oh, God help us in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing number 5, I believe, wasn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
Number 5, and we'll close with singing this.